And now it's time for the Wildside News with your host, Sydney Wildsmith.
Something's coming, but it's not clear what that is. Suddenly, America finds itself in the midst of a series of major projects that affect the lives of all of our people, some directly. And in the midst of all that, we're literally running short on energy. Something's coming when your voice of the earth continues here on the Wildside News.
Welcome back to the Wildside News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
Good to have you here. You know, yesterday morning I woke up, turned on my computer to find out that one of its three hard drives had crashed. 100 gigs of data were no longer available. Now that's a shocker on the day that I put this show together. Lucky for me, the drive that crashed did not have my C drive on it, so my computer still functioned. I just couldn't get to lots of stuff. I took an inventory and found that all my image files, all my music and video files, all of my recordings were gone. Could I survive? Well, I had a backup, but it had been a while since I did the backup. Plus, there's all the work to try to make it happen. It was a real loss. And in those early morning hours, it suddenly occurred to me that what I had lost had been similarly lost by hundreds of thousands of people along the Gulf Coast. Thousands of computers were lost, and all the contents gone. We see the images of the devastation, the ruined homes and cars, the businesses gone. I read of a library in Louisiana that reported that what remained was the slab. I tried to upgrade the concept of my loss to embrace the magnitude of the Gulf Coast victims. Today, we try to get a sense of what appears to be an unending loss of control in our lives. I'm going to talk about a need for something new in our society. In segment two, we've all heard of recycling. It's a great way to conserve our resources. When you look at the Gulf states and the massive piles of broken homes and businesses and realize that all of that will have to be reconstructed, we talk with a man who is running a great business recycling construction materials. It's a very timely look at a most practical business that should find offshoots throughout the entire rebuilding zones. And then, in segment three, this last weekend I was in the nation's capital and attended the Green Festival and had the chance to talk with someone who is helping us bring greater value to our travels and vacations. You've heard of ecotourism. We'll learn what it's all about and how you can make the most of these incredible adventures. So we've got a great show coming up, and we'll get things up and running following today's news. And so now, the news. The good news is there are no storms lurking off in the Atlantic Ocean right now, so there should be a lull in the hurricane season, which is officially over in November. The unfortunate news is that 4 days after Rita hit west of New Orleans along the East Texas-Louisiana border, aid in the form of federal relief remains about as scarce as an ice-cold glass of water. 40,000 Texans, 250,000 Louisianans, and 20,000 Mississippi residents are still without electricity, which, for anyone who has spent any time in that area, well knows is hot, humid, and now horrific. As with Katrina, federal emergency management remains, well, complicated by red tape, to say the least. Following a hearing of former FEMA head Michael Brown on Tuesday, many were left with the obvious conclusion that Brown was not only not the man for the job, but perhaps verging on criminally incompetent. We will have more on this later in the broadcast. Thousands of experts are bumping into one another trying to determine what to do to get the Gulf area fixed, and it's a task of unfathomable complexity. Concerns that the storm's damage to oil platforms and refineries would result in immediate price surges at the gasoline pumps have not as yet been realized. 16 Gulf refineries remain closed as a result of Rita. Oil and gasoline production is returning, which is a welcome relief to local Gulf Coast residents who have had to endure 3 to 4 hour long waits in lines to refuel at gas stations. President Bush announced Tuesday, a month after Katrina, that he will open up the strategic oil reserves to keep oil prices stable and encourage Americans, finally, to drive less to conserve energy. Every bit does help. Thank you, Mr. President. Meanwhile, amazingly, the major automakers are ramping up a plea for President Bush to take more aggressive action to cut U.S. dependence on petroleum, the Wall Street Journal reported on Monday. Ford Chairman and Chief Executive William Clay Ford Jr. sent a letter to President Bush asking that an energy summit be held involving the automakers, suppliers, fuel providers, consumers, and government officials with an eye to finding solutions for alternative fuel resources, and included a statement that the recently signed $17 billion national energy bill was, quote, only the beginning. Separately, Jim Press, the head of Toyota's U.S. operations, said he planned to go to Washington next month to lobby lawmakers to make energy independence an issue in the election campaign of 2008. Press is quoted as saying, "We recognize the responsibility we have to come up with a solution to this economic problem. As an industry, we should leave our individual companies' bags outside the door to work together on this issue." General Motors' top Washington spokesman, Chris Preuss, added, "We believe the U.S. needs to begin aggressive policy moves away from petroleum toward hydrogen. We should diversify our energy stocks away from foreign sources." The three key auto executives sound like future advocates for energy independence. Here on the Wild Side News, we will keep you posted. And a final story in three parts to show how complex these issues truly are as we move towards the globalization of greed rather than the globalization of cooperation. Tigers, Part 1. The head of India's new task force fighting to save the nation's dwindling population of tigers said last Friday that the big cats were on the verge of extinction because of rampant poaching for their body parts. According to experts, 40,000 tigers existed in India a century ago. The current population is estimated to be as low as 2,000 animals. Tigers, Part 2. China this last week announced that it is considering reopening of the Chinese business in tiger parts. China, which banned trade in all tigers and tiger parts in 1993, is now contemplating reopening the business based on farm-bred captive animals. Unfortunately, such will send out tiger part wish lists to poachers around the world, which helps to keep a healthy illegal wildlife trade worth $8 billion per year. According to the Wildlife Conservation Society, illegal sales of pelts of tigers and other rare cats have been surging in Tibetan regions of western China. And we all thought the Tibetans were so spiritual and hip. Chinese state media reports that native South China tigers, among the rarest of the world's five remaining tiger subspecies, were on the verge of extinction in the wild, with less than 30 left alive. The Siberian tiger of northern China and southern Russia is believed now to number less than a few hundred. Tigers, Part 3. The tiger population at a reserve in central India has increased after Maoist rebels who control most of the forest kept poachers away. The Maoists, who operate out of jungle bases in nine states, say they are fighting for the rights of poor peasants and landless laborers. They have killed politicians and policemen in this 40-year-old revolt. But, according to Warden N.K. Bhagat, the tigers are totally safe. We have had no reports of poaching. And that's the news. This last story is a perfect introduction to the analysis I will give to finish up this first segment. as our nation struggles to regain its equilibrium after being broadsided by two of the nation's largest natural disasters. The effort is compounded by major challenges. Yes, the good old price of a barrel of oil and the price of a gallon of gas continue to wear down our chances of economic recovery. This, while a reckless gamble in Iraq forges global hatred for America, and the deficit becomes our economic mushroom cloud looming overhead as the threat of a global pandemic of bird flu is poised to send new levels of panic and fear around the world. We look back on the last 4 weeks and realize that our government is admittedly and ashamedly unable to respond to literal life and death issues in our own cities, towns, and countrysides. Is this a gloomy picture? You bet. And quite literally, the future of life, of our tigers and frogs, insects, fish, friends, and even our enemies, is at best out of control. America, as we have known it, may truly be at a crossroads. And from my vantage point, it has become obvious that we may simply be reaching a point of what appears to be a spontaneous anarchy, brought about directly from a system that has at its very center an out-of-control political fight to the death that is taking all of us who work within this struggle down with them. Shame on our politicians. Shame on those who support the war of wills. Shame on the press that ignores the real people's will. I am prepared to say that the system is broken. The power entrusted to the two parties is leaving us vanquished, exhausted, set adrift in the refuse of what once was a working democracy. I look at the hurricane recovery efforts and realize that the problem is much bigger than the federal government can possibly manage, with all of its forms and regulations and fears and the ever-present wealth that comes from the inside deals. I look to the southern communities that lie in shambles, still trying to develop a sense that there is the ability in the short term to provide food, shelter, water, health care, education, jobs, re-education, relocation, to maintain the human spirit of those who have lost absolutely everything, including their homes, possessions, communities, friends, mothers, daughters, children, fathers, and brothers. And that is just the first stabilizing stage. Then comes the massive effort to rebuild the complex working systems of our own human communities that have taken hundreds of years to develop, in place, comprised of streets lined with homes that light with electricity, that is provided as people pay their monthly bills with checks, checks and credit cards used to buy shoes and tickets to ball games, fresh chickens and gambling money that allows musicians to sing for tips on the streets and children to stay home sick from school, and passion after a few late-night drinks with a new friend as a knob turns up the volume on an old Fender amp and a cop lets the speeder go because he's tired. It's our world, it's our community, and it's broken, and they're trying to fix it. Meanwhile, the future of the American Gulf is secured by Halliburton within 48 hours of the hit, with secret no-bid deals, with the overhead and overtime and overcharging that comes with the inside deal while people plead for water. Will America be rebuilt by its people, or will its people be reshuffled to meet the management needs of the few who believe they know best what we all should do with their guidance? My gut and my soul cry out now more than ever that we take and maintain the dream that was America, based on self and self-sufficiency, independence and independence of mind, equal opportunity to restructure our towns and homes and backyards and lives with our own hands and backs, sweat and small loans, control from our homes and towns, and reassembling our lives in a neighborly fashion. We witnessed the results of believing that help was on the way, that saving lives was the number one mission. People are so capable. Our cumulative intelligence, spirit, and will united supersede all the centralized power players who hold the reins of power. Move, within your own communities, within your own towns, looking one another straight in the eyes and making deals with handshakes and scraps of paper. Let the honor of honorable men and women lead us onward and upward to renew this republic. Left, right, it was telling to witness FEMA's now-deposed chief, Michael Brown, as he blamed the people for his failures. Left, right, wrong. Something is terribly wrong. Change is happening. The game board just got tipped, and the players have fallen. Something's coming, and we do not know what it is. And it needs to be so much different than it has been. Something's coming. Keep your eyes open. Move towards all the things we know are right for us now. It will not be easy. That is the magic matrix of change. Something's coming, and it is us, or it's them. It's time to decide, so that this never happens again. When we return, we give you simple, powerful ways to get the rebuilding process started. When your voice of the earth returns here on the Wild Side News.